Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture.
So, the motive of benevolence, generally a good motive. Bentham is really keen that when we think in terms of benevolence, we don't just think in terms of individual people or even groups that we identify with, that we like, whose views we take into account, who we see as actually mattering, and that we think of the entire community. So we worry about the pleasures and pains for everybody. Partial could just be, you know, one's own group, one's own club, one's own, pick whatever you like. What's he talking about here? Why is this a big issue? Shouldn't we, if we're looking out for our own group, necessarily produce the greatest amount of utility, pleasure over pain? Let's think about certain basic groups. Think about families. Is it a good thing for you, when you make decisions, to think about how it's going to affect your family from a utilitarian perspective? I know all the rest of you probably think that it is from other perspectives, but we're putting on our utilitarian hands now. Yes or no? Good thing or not to take into account the members of your family, and how they would feel, how they would be affected. So should you do your homework or not? Think about how it's going to affect your mom and dad, your brother and sister. Probably not much, right? But you never know. Should you date this person who is a lot of fun for you to date? Maybe think about how your family is affected. Everybody in your family hates this person because they're a jerk to them. Maybe you should quit to break up with them, quit dating them. That would be to be a good utilitarian. You know, your family is like a little community, isn't it? Should you go home on the weekends or go out with your friends? You know, how's your family going to feel about that? Well, now, if you notice, too, we just brought in another group, because your friends are also affected. You know, if you have 20 friends and only 4 family members, maybe the family members are, being a smaller community, their desires, their pleasures, and pains matter less. What do you think? What about Marist College as a whole? Do you feel any sort of sense of responsibility towards the Marist College community? Other students, professors, staff, administrators, or do they not really enter into decision making? You know, if you litter on campus, so this is a really small thing, right? That's causing people displeasure. Does it matter? Yeah, it matters from a utilitarian perspective. The amount of discomfort it would have taken you to, you know, pick it up and go to the waste paper basket, the inconvenience that would cause you is not worth the amount of displeasure it's causing everybody else. Let's say we keep widening it, get past the Marist College community. What are other communities you guys feel responsible for? Do you feel that you're a member of a municipality? Does it matter for your town, what you do and how you behave? Or for your country? Are you making your country a better place or a worse place by your actions? Do you take that into account? Or, you know, think about other things. As a consumer, you know, you're benefiting the companies that you're buying the food from, or the farmers, or whoever else that you're buying it from. Do the food choices that you make matter in these respects? If you have the chance to buy it from some local farmers, is that a better thing to do than buying it from a huge corporation like Nabisco? Good question to ask. Bentham thinks that any time that we focus just on the needs, desires, outcomes of pain and pleasure for small groups, our choices may coincide with the principle of utility. They may produce greater pleasure and pain overall for the entire community, but there's always a risk that they won't. There's always a risk that what's good for my family may be to say, screw everybody else. We're going to get what's good for us. And everybody else better watch it, because we're going to exploit them and do whatever we can. Or think about the way in which we behave as consumers. What is it that we want usually the most? Get a good deal, right? Well, what makes a good deal? I'm willing to bet that at least one of you is going to buy something today, probably online, and the rest of you are going to buy something within the next month. Yeah.
Like you said, one is a good deal based on like comparable pricing.
Get it as cheaply as possible, right? Why? Because then you have to spend less of your money. You feel good. You get the pleasure that's coming from the thing. But there's a trade-off. If somebody has to sell it under price, then that might cause them pain. Or if the process itself is built on a lot of pain and misery. Think about these iPhones, right? Why did Apple get so much grief over the last couple of years? Who made these iPhones? It wasn't American workers who for the most part, right? Chinese, and why does that matter? Is Chinese people just feel more pain?
Work conditions were
bad. Exactly. Yeah, the working conditions were in many ways inhumane. They don't follow the same sort of labor laws that we do. And this is part of the product of it. So when I'm buying this, or when I'm enjoying this, in a certain way, I'm enjoying what, from a larger perspective, might be other people's misery. It's a product of that. The supply chain matters. There's a lot of cases in which we should think, Bentham says, about what the effects for the larger community are, even though we don't necessarily see them or run into them, even though we may never encounter them. We should think about what the impact is. So there's two things that are kind of interesting to point out with this. Two things that have to do with utilitarianism. So one is, are we the only creatures that feel pleasure in pain? What other creatures feel pleasure in pain?
Most other animals.
Yeah, I mean, poke your dog in the ribs and see what happens. Probably going to bite you or growl. Why? Because he doesn't like being poked in the ribs because it hurts. Give your dog a treat, your dog's kind of happy. Dogs and cats, we think about them feeling pleasure and pain. As we go further and further down the scale, maybe pleasure and pain don't mean exactly the same thing. I'm not sure that a bug feels pleasure or pain, or even a fish, in the same way as a higher animal does. Certainly they don't feel psychological pleasure and pain. Like when I yell at my dog because he did something stupid or wrong, he actually feels bad and, like, you know, goes off, slinks off for a while, then comes back all apologetic. That's actual pain on his part. Bugs don't feel that. If I yell at the bees, they... But if I take a bee and I poke a pin into it, it feels pain, doesn't it? In some rudimentary way. Do bacteria feel pleasure and pain? Nah, probably not. I guess if we get down that far. So now think about this. When we're making decisions, should we take into account not only the entire human community, but the animal community as well? That's one of the arguments that Peter Singer, one of the major utilitarian thinkers of our time, has made. He wrote a whole book called Animal Liberation. He recently actually changed his position, that he was saying we should all be vegetarians, to questioning that, because if you look at how crops are actually farmed in modern agriculture, you have to kill an awful lot of creatures in the fields in order to produce wheat or other, you know, soy or things like that. And he thinks that you ought to take all that into consideration. Perhaps that's going too far. I don't know where you stand on that sort of thing. If we're going to be utilitarians, maybe we should restrict it to human beings or higher animals. But it's hard to draw the line. The other thing that I'd like to draw your attention to is this effective altruism chart that you see here. This is also coming from Peter Singer's interesting ideas. And his view is that if we're going to be altruistic and we want to get the most bang for our buck, which is a good utilitarian notion, we want to accomplish the most good for the most people, then we shouldn't let our emotions drive our decision-making. Why not? Well, you know, think about this. You see one person in need on the street, and you give to them in a kind of, like he calls, knee-jerk fashion. Is that going to solve the problem that they're being faced with? Why not?
Because it's not enough, and there's plenty of other people in the same situation aren't benefiting from what you just did.
Yeah, so you've got two important factors there. There's other people that are being left out, and it's probably not going to be enough. I mean, if you give the bum enough for a nice hot meal, provided they don't spend it on anything else, all they got is a hot meal. They didn't get off the street, they didn't find a job, they didn't get housing or anything like that. And there's other people in the same case. So his idea is that we should try to back up a bit and look at bigger and bigger pictures. And that's very much like what we were talking about here, looking at the larger, more extensive picture. And that will lead you to being able to come up with better solutions. So instead of going with the heart immediately, step back, use the head, and allow the head to come up with longer-lasting, more systematic approaches to altruism. That's all coming out of utilitarianism, this entire notion.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.